Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Al Diaz, author of The Path of Conflict and producer of the film Beyond Hope. I'm grateful for having you here and joining us. And I also have my wonderful co-host, Cindy Holbrook, the Compassion and Divorce Coach of Coaching for DivorceWomen.com. And we have a very special guest who, after a dozen years in the adult industry and working as a high-end call girl, Mary and I quit with the mission to help women understand why their husbands wander and what they can do to prevent it. Mary has just released a sensational book, Orgasm Now, How to Have More, Better, and Faster Orgasms, even if you've had problems in the past. She has helped thousands of women worldwide have empowered relationships with men and money. She is a certified law of attraction coach, life coach, intuitive, and public speaker. Her website is lovemagnetcoaching.com. Our topic today is attracting the right relationship. First, a couple of announcements. Continue to check back here on Blog Talk Radio on the Rewrite Your Story host page for upcoming shows and co-hosts, and also go to rewritestory.com for a very special gift that we're giving away. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome my co-host, Cindy, and our guest, special guest, Mary. Hi, ladies. How are you doing?
I'm good, and welcome, Mary. I'm so excited to have you on the call today.
Oh, thank you. I'm very excited to be here. Thanks for asking me.
You're very
phenomenal.
Welcome. My pleasure. Phenomenal. Mary is one of the most awesome people I've ever met to our audience, Al. So you've got to learn more about Mary. And before we get started, I do want to remind everybody, you can go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/groups/YourToxicRelationshipDance. You can talk to us live while we're on the show. You can ask questions and make comments, and we'll do our best to get to it. And if you are on the phone, you can call into the live broadcast to ask your questions by calling 713-955-0561. And if you're over on the Blog Talk Radio Show page, there is a chat form where you can put your questions there as well. So welcome, Mary. So to start with, what's some of the biggest lessons that you learned about attracting the right type of relationships based on your call girl days? Or really, to start a little bit, do you want to tell anybody a little bit about your history first?
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes. Well, when I was working as an escort, that's what we called ourselves. When I was working as an escort, what I found was that I don't know how far we want to get into this, but as far as like the law of attraction stuff goes, it's like that industry was very literal. So whatever I put in my ads, like if I put certain wording in my advertising, it would attract a certain kind of man. And so what I learned to do was craft all of my advertisements so that I could attract a certain kind of man. Like I would have a certain kind of photo on my website. Like I never had any nudity. I never had anything really provocative because I didn't want to attract men who just wanted to have sex with me, because that's not what I really wanted to do. I wanted to attract men who were looking for more of a companion. So it was a certain mindset that I had about that. And that's the same thing with like with women on dating sites, you know, putting provocative photos or having, you know, some kind of sexy cute name, you know, and then they wonder, well, how come I keep attracting men who only want to have sex?
Right.
You know, you're leading with the sex part.
Mm-hmm. And I love that. I know when I first met you, I was very intrigued at the fact that you said very little of the time that you spent with men that you were the escort for was actually spent in bed. Most of it was either going out to dinner or just conversing.
Yes, because men were looking to make a connection. And I know so many of them didn't realize that, but that's what they were actually missing from the relationships they were having with their wives, if they were married. It was because, as so many of your listeners probably already know, and is that if you're not having sex, that's just a symptom of a lot of other things that are going wrong in your relationship. So men would think, oh my gosh, we're not having sex. I miss sex. I need to have sex. And so then when they would get in a situation where that was available, yeah, sure, that was something they wanted to do, but it was not the first thing on their mind after they kind of settled in and got used to being around me, you know, where they were excited and attracted to me. But once, you know, we actually engaged in conversation, they found that that was actually secondary. What they were wanting was to be around a woman that was nice and listened and laughed and would flirt a little bit and talk. That was a lot of what the men were wanting. They wanted to feel wanted and desired. That's big for men. I'm sure Al can speak to that.
Yeah, well, Mary, so you just tapped into something here, and I want you to dive in further into this. So, I'm losing my train of thought. if there's a relationship that's not having sex or intimacy, and you said there's deeper or other symptoms or issues to that, what are they from your point of view?
Well, what I actually would have men tell me was that their wives weren't feeling sexual anymore because either they had children and they didn't, you know, they felt like they had gained weight and they didn't feel good about their bodies. And the men assured me that those extra pounds did not deter them from sexual attraction. So over time, though, So the woman wasn't feeling attractive, and so they weren't having sex on a regular basis. Well, it goes from having sex, you know, maybe a couple of times a month to once a month to once every few months, you know, to once every 6 months. And then it just kind of gets to where you can't even believe that it's been that long since you've had sex. And then it makes it difficult to go back to recreate that sexual connection. Because for men, making a sexual connection with a woman is just like women making a connection through talking and on that emotional level. So men start to feel unwanted. And when you feel unwanted and you're being constantly rejected by someone that you love, that you have a family with, it starts to demoralize you in a way that you start to feel unattractive to where you don't even want to reach out anymore to that person sexually. So there's that. And then there's also things like just being too busy, not talking to each other, letting everyday life get in the way. And not making sex a priority?
What you said earlier is that, you know, like, first of all, the woman feels unattractive, so then she changes, and then the man starts feeling unattractive because the sex is diminishing. Then you have two people feeling very unattractive, unloved, and unwanted, which is the classic toxic relationship.
Because
they're both struggling to find some sort of value, to find, you know, to feel attractive, to feel wanted and desired. And if they start acting out, trying to get the other person to want and to be attracted to them, and then it's just, you know, a bomb explodes eventually. Whereas the man would go seek out the escort or somebody else, or, you know, for either the man or the woman. Would you agree?
Well, yeah, and I know that what we're saying is we are taking kind of the bare bones of the situation and laying it out, because I know we don't really have time to really go into all the different reasons of what goes on, you know, because then when you're not feeling attractive, you're not feeling loved and wanted, you start to behave in a certain way. And so you might start arguing about stupid little things that you never would have argued about before. And then as women, generally speaking, we tend to be very much in our heads about what we need to feel sexually attractive. Like, we need a man to do X, Y, and Z so that we feel like having sex with him, and a man just needs to have sex with us. You know, so there's that this too, and then we think, well, he's just being selfish, or, you know, he doesn't care. How could he want to have sex with me? I'm so gross. You know, just, and then we don't want to have sex with him because he made us mad because he didn't take out the trash. I mean, it sounds so simple, but these are the things that create a really crappy dynamic, are these little things that just wear it away. So what to do is somebody just needs to start initiating sex. That's when it's the happen.
With this, and I want to sort of go in another direction too, because, you know, we are talking about attracting the right relationship. So we might be jumping ahead here, you know, for anybody that, you know, in a relationship and it's crappy, or it might help you even understand a little bit where your marriage or your previous relationship went awry. But if somebody is, you know, out there and they really want to find a happy, healthy relationship, what are some of the steps one can take to start attracting the right relationship?
Okay. Well, this will apply, what I'm going to say is going to apply to people who are currently in a relationship or people who are seeking a relationship. And that is just, I'll tell you, Law of Attraction 101. Okay, there's nothing mystical about what I'm about to say, and that is that you have certain feelings, say, and then those feelings will create thoughts. You know, you'll say, oh, well, I feel this way because. Well, then those thoughts create a belief, because belief is just a thought that you've had over and over again. Okay, it doesn't make it true, but you believe it, because you've thought it over and over and over again. And many of us don't even know why we believe the things we believe, because we've just had these beliefs for so long. Well, because you have certain beliefs, you'll act a certain way. And then your actions create results. So you see that? So it's like your thoughts create, your feelings create thoughts, thoughts create beliefs, beliefs create actions, and actions create results. So when I say it that way, it's pretty straightforward, right? It sounds very simple. But because, so if you're having, if you have all these thoughts of dating is hard, relationships are hard, I don't understand men, I don't get what
I
want.
I'm too old. I've heard
I'm
this
too old. Mm-hmm. I'm
I,
too
I've
divorced.
I've heard this from women as young as 40 years old, you know, I'm too old to get into a new relationship. And I'm like, hey, have you ever heard of these 90-year-old women who get married?
Well, I'm. It is what I always say to my coaching clients is, I'm 51. I've been married and divorced 3 times. I used to be a prostitute, and now I'm engaged to an amazing, wonderful, supportive, loving man. Like, if I can do it,
right?
You can do it. There's hope, ladies. Come on.
Okay, no, Mary, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. So what turned it around for you? What? Okay, so you've gone through all these experiences and all these relationships, and now you're engaged to an amazing man. What was the spark, or what did you do, or what did you shift that it all turned around for you?
What I started to do was to get to know myself. And I started meditating, taking just really journaling. I'm not going to say anything new here. I'm just going to say journaling, meditating, getting to know myself, whatever that means for people out there, that is so important, because if you don't know what you want, you're going to continue to attract the same old crap. I started to get focused on, well, what do I want? What makes me feel good? What kind of person do I want to spend my time with? What kind of person do I want to be? And it took a while for me, but I just devoted myself to that, reading all kinds of relationship books, not really so much relationship books about getting in a dating relationship, but about, you know, for myself, taking
so
classes.
So once you understood who you were or who you are, And then so at that point you decide, okay, now that I have a greater understanding of who I am, I'm not going to project that out to the world, because this is who I am. This is the energy I'm going to emanate. And because you started emanating that energy through your thoughts and your feelings and obviously your beliefs, you attracted this amazing man that you have now in your life, correct?
That's true, but it doesn't mean that I didn't attract some other kinds of people along the way, because a lot of times what happens is, as women, we tend to communicate in the negative, and men and the universe, source, God, whatever you want to call the higher power, respond to what we put out. So if I'm saying, you know, if I'm listing off 10 things that I don't want, which is what women tend to do, we tend to say, well, I don't want this, I don't want that, I don't like this, I don't like that. I'm not saying we're being negative or complaining, we're just talking that way. And a man hears that. A man does not hear, oh, well, she likes this, she likes that. He just hears, I don't like this, I don't like that. And then we get mad at men because we're thinking, oh, my gosh, didn't you hear what I just said? I just told you that I wanted blah, blah, blah. But we didn't tell him we wanted blah, blah, blah. We told him what we didn't want. Well, the same thing goes with the universe.
Or we're real good at hinting. Gee, the trash sure is full, you know. Gee, the trash sure is starting to overflow. Instead of just saying, please take out the trash. It's interesting how we do that.
I know, especially if you're a people pleaser. If you're a people pleaser or have codependency issues, it takes a lot of practice. So, Al, to go back to your point, too, another thing that I learned to do was to say what I wanted, was to say, and once I started knowing for myself, I started saying it out loud. But to go back to that, it's like saying, so when we say to the universe, I don't want this, I don't want that, you know, I don't want a man who smokes, I don't want a man who is obsessed with sports, I don't want to be used for sex. We're all focusing on what we don't want, and so we keep getting, you know, someone who has an addictive personality or addictive behaviors, or somebody who maybe he is or isn't using us for sex, but we feel that way. So we keep attracting those same situations because we're not being clear in saying what we do want. And it can be as simple as just writing down a little list of, these are the things that I want in the man that I am dating. These are the things I want in a relationship. Because we make lists for everything else. Why not
that? For our audience, I know that you know this, and I know that you'll agree with me, but one of the best things to do, because you have to know, you know, knowing what you don't want is the beginning of knowing what you do want. So something that you can do, if you have this list of I do not want, I do not want, I do not want, go ahead and write them down on a piece of paper and then ask yourself, what is it that I do want? Okay, you know, something I had on my list at one time was, I do not want a black and white thinker. So what did I want? I wanted somebody who liked to explore different ways of thinking. I liked somebody who was very open-minded. So therefore, instead of saying, I don't want a black and white thinker, I wanted somebody who was open-minded. And I didn't want somebody who yelled all the time. So therefore, I wanted somebody with a quiet mannerism. So if you write down everything that you don't want and you start asking yourself, what's the opposite of that? What is it that I do want? You know, like you'll say, oh, I don't want to walk on eggshells. Well, I want a man that I can be at peace with. I want a man with a sense of humor. It's a way to turn it around there.
Well, it's also, there's two points to make on that is one thing is every woman that I talk to, all of my coaching clients, when I say, what do you want? No one that I can think of off the top of my head has ever said, oh, well, I want this, this, and this. They all say, well, I don't want.
Yes.
And so when you say, like, you know, I don't want someone who yells, you're thinking, well, oh, my God, but what is the opposite of that? And a lot of times we really have to stop and think about, well, what is it that we want?
Mm-hmm.
Because someone who doesn't yell, well, that could be a lot of things. That's, you know, and so getting real clear is important. And another thing for women, if you keep finding the same, you know, like say you keep dating somebody who yells, right? You keep attracting that man. Instead of being upset and thinking, oh, my God, I've done it again. I attracted this outrageous person, think, oh, wow, okay, awesome. I see again. Here it is again, one more time for me to be really, really sure and get very, very clear about what I do want. So having that contrast show up in your life is a gift. And then once you recognize it for that and go, oh, you're like, oh, cool, great. Now I can, I can let that go. I can move on.
So Mary,
and it all has to do with we're resisting it. We're thinking, oh, we get down on ourselves, we resist it, and we want, and we can't see the gift in what we perceive to be as a bad thing. And anything, I don't care how horrible it might sound, there's a gift in it.
Totally agree. So, Mary,
agreed,
So, and as far as being clear and understanding what you desire or what you want, what you like to have in your life, as far as a relationship is concerned, is it, and from your perspective, is it good enough? Okay, so I'm going to talk about myself personally. I have a list of what my relationship is going to be like for my next relationship whenever I do go into another one. And it's pretty long. It's about 3 pages. And I know it's what I desire. And I wrote it all down, and I truly believe that it's going to come to pass. Is that something that a person needs to keep focusing on, or once it's written down and you put it out there, is that good enough? Or do you need to continuously focus on it and reread this type of thing?
Well, there's a couple of things that I want to say about that. One of them is if you've got a long list, and a lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, I've got this long list. I'm being too picky. This is never going to happen, right? But if you go through each item on the list, you could probably condense it down to a few overall themes of what it is that you're looking for. Because each thing that you're writing down, you want that thing because of the way that you think it's going to make you feel. So that's a thing, a good news for women who are like, oh my gosh, I've got this impossible list. Your list isn't impossible. There is going to be an overarching emotional theme to all. If you go line by line, you're like, oh, I want this because it makes me feel like this. And then you'll be able to, you see what I'm saying? You're drawing out like, oh, it's because this is how I want to feel when I'm in a relationship with somebody. So there's that on that. But yeah, as far as the list goes, there's another thing called the law of detachment. So if you have your list of things and then you put it away in a drawer and you just detach from it, it doesn't mean that you don't care. It means that you are trusting that it's going to happen. Because there's also a law, there's a bunch of universal laws. Another one is the law of gestation, acknowledging that it takes time for things to happen. You know, sometimes it could take a day, sometimes it could take an hour or, you know, whatever. But if you're the kind of person that can really put something away, then I recommend doing that. If you're somebody who is going to obsess over details, I also recommend that you just put it away and let it go. If you're somebody who enjoys ruminating over these things and going, oh, I love reading this list because I can really see it happening, then do that. But you kind of have to know yourself. If you're going to obsess over it, then you just put it in the drawer and shut the drawer. And then get it out when you meet that person and go, oh, cool, yay, this is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I know I kind of said a lot there.
a couple of things, too. It's if you're obsessing over it, you're feeling like you have to take action to make it happen. And the more you're trying to make it happen, the further away it is. But also, I wanted to ask that what your opinion is I often tell people, besides just writing a list of what you want in a relationship, is to write a list and ask yourself, who do you have to become to be the person that the person you want to attract will be attracted to?
Right, right. Like, because we don't attract what we want, we attract who we are.
Agreed.
Wayne Dyer said
agreed.
That. I agree with that too, and sometimes it's like, oh, come on. You know, so if you really get clear about what you're wanting, you can learn a lot about yourself too. And there's also a method in law of attraction that is called the placemat process, where one side you would write down like a bit of a to-do list. You're saying, well, I want a woman who has these qualities, and then on the other side you write you on the top, and then write source or God, universe on the other, and you'd move over all the things to the side of the universe that you want them to do to make that happen. You'll say, okay, well, I'm willing to go out to, you know, church or a singles mixer or anytime I'm invited to a party or a coffee shop or whatever. I'm willing to put myself out there physically in the world, and universe, source, God, I want you to bring the right people to me that's the effort I'm going to make. Or I'm going to make the effort to put myself on a dating website. I'm going to make the effort to feel good about myself and involve myself in self-care, things that make me feel good. You know, so it's not just like, you know, so you get to take action as well as let it go.
So what you're saying is you draw up a list of the action your person is going to take, And then on the other side of the page, you're going to list of, because I'm doing this, this is what I would like for you to have or do.
Well, actually, it's, you can write the whole list down of the things that you want and just move things over on the to the universe's side. And it could be everything but one thing. You don't have, it's not like a, it's like, okay, universe, I want to meet the perfect woman. And I want to have this kind of relationship with her. And you can put all that on the universe's side. And then on your side, you could put the list of steps that you are willing to take in order to allow that to happen. And it could even be something like that you're just going to pray and meditate every day. Whatever feels right to you. You see, it's not like please do this for me and then I'll do this. It's like a, these are the things that I'm willing to do and these are the things that I'm asking you to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, one of the things that I like and the willing to do is to whenever the universe is nudging you, is to be willing to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. I have an older client, she's in her 60s, and she met this man, and she thought, I want to date him, so I'm going to ask him out on a date. And that was really stepping out of her comfort zone. And so whenever you're thinking about, you know, what you want to do, it could be something as much as that you are willing to step out of your comfort zone.
Well, that example that I just used, and I hope it wasn't confusing, but it is, so I was with my son. My youngest son wanted a brand new computer, and he wanted a couple of other physical items, things that he needed, material items. And so on one side, he wrote down, okay, I'd like a new laptop, I'd like this, I'd like that. And then on the universe's side, he was like, well, I don't know, I'm already working two jobs, I don't know what else I can do to get this new computer. And I said, just be willing to accept it. Just write down,
yes,
I am willing to accept, I'm willing to receive.
Yes.
Something
yes.
even as simple as that for a lot of us. Because a lot of us do, go. You know, we always think we have to do all this stuff. And it's like, well, a lot of times it's receiving.
And I know that we're about running out of time. And I do want to tell everybody, Mary has an awesome, awesome podcast where she interviews she's interviewed other escorts as well as men who have utilized escort services, which I think a lot of our audience might really be interesting in listening to. What I'm going to do is post the links up on the Facebook page. So you want to be sure, and I don't know if, Al, if you can post it up maybe on the comment page if people can read it afterwards. And
okay.
I don't know, Mary. Yeah, because
Thank you.
It's a little bit hard to just say the links out loud. It would be, you know, maybe time consuming. What's the name of your podcast if they do a search on iTunes? What's the name of it?
How to Keep Your Man Out of My Bed. And that was
the
title. That's the title of my best-selling
book.
Yes.
Definitely you want to go to Amazon and buy her book as well.
Okay, so Mary, 30 seconds. Any final thoughts or comments for our audience and any announcements you have?
Well, the final thought is, you know, there really is somebody out there for everyone. My story is proof of that. Cindy's story is also proof of that. And also be nice to yourself. Have compassion for yourself. And be willing to receive. You know, be willing to receive. That's just, it sounds kind of trite, but it's so true.
Awesome. Cindy, 20 seconds. Anything, any final comments?
Nope. Just keep on believing and just keep on believing that you are worth it. Being compassionate to yourself. Be compassionate to yourself as just as much as you would be compassionate to somebody else. And, you know, I always like to say big hugs to everybody, and I hope you have a fantastic weekend.
Awesome.
Thank
and
you so much for having me. Sorry.
Thank you for being here, Mary. Thank you.
Okay,
I think we could talk to you for hours, Mary.
for the audience, for Cindy Holbrook, the Compassionate Divorce Coach of CoachingForDivorceWomen.com. Have you had enough of what you're going through? Contact me and let's rewrite your story from existing pain to purpose that allows you to have the life you truly desire. My email address is al.diazforlove@gmail.com. And remember, every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, join us for this powerful, wonderful, wisdom-filled show. Thank you all for joining us. And remember that everything in our past, present, or future is for our best and highest good. Wherever you are at, have a great day, a wonderful evening. Cindy, Mary, you ladies rock. Thank you for being a joyous blessing in our life.
Thank you, and you're a blessing in our lives as well.